Okay, y'all still enjoying yourselves. Good morning, Runner for Christ Ministries. It's happy first day of May, y'all. I know right now Lord just want us to make sure we come to church. That's why the sun not out yet. It'll be out later. You can enjoy it, but the weather is warming. But it doesn't matter because we are here and we are so grateful. So come and let us exalt his name together. That's what we do here, right? Get my jukebox going. Standing to your feet.
Surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
know we live in hostile territory.
Oh,
that we are in enemy territory.
Yeah.
But we are here where God has set up a standard.
Yeah.
He has set his church. And he said, Jesus said it himself, the gates of hell will not prevail against what he built, his church. Amen?
Amen.
Our not responsive reading today, actually, we're going to read this together, is the 100th Psalm from the Christian Standard Bible, because sometimes we just need to mix it up a little bit.
All right.
Let's read together. Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. Has God been faithful to you through all the generations in your life? Does he deserve to be given thanksgiving and praise all the time? Because he's good all the time. That don't mean in the situations. That means that's who he is. God is good. So let's go before this good Father in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for another day to come together, to come and sing your praises, to come and sit at your feet, to come and sup at the table with you, because we're welcome, because we're family, because of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity just to bask together in your presence, as we've been doing all week alone. We should have been hanging out with you all week, but now we get to come to this family meeting and to participate in these family things. Lord, we pray if there's anyone here who is not part of this family, that they'll come to know this good, faithful, loving Father who takes care of us way better than a shepherd takes care of sheep and pastures, because you are God. And without you, we have nothing, not even life. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, y'all. Let's keep going here. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God's presence dwells in us and with us. Because he can, because we've been washed in the blood. We're holy. We're acceptable. But a lot of times we don't think so. So let's use this song to focus on the one who said it so, and done so much for us that we could never, ever repay him. Even right now, he's working on our behalf.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty in this world. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus. the moment that I see you face to face. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Because of sin. And they shared that burden with all of us. And if you read your Bible, you know that in the Old Testament, people had close encounters, but it wasn't close enough to do away with sin until Jesus came.
Amen.
And he eradicated the wall between God and mankind. He took it all on himself. And he washed us in his blood so that we could once again fellowship wholly and completely with the true and living God. Think about that. All these other world religions, you got to do so much to get your God's attention. And maybe, just maybe, he'll drop a little something on you. Not coming down, definitely. But just dropping a little so that you'll keep following and pursuing him. But the true and living God came down. Dressed himself just like us. Lived like us. And took all of our guilt and sin on himself to the cross. And washed us in his blood. And he said, not only have I done that and opened the way, but I'm going to stay with you. Forever. That's why those verses say, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. This is the story. It's why we sing. It's why we show up. Because we have assurance that this is true. It's just not some fantasy. It's not something made up. This is real. Some of us have experienced all week that presence, knowing that he's with us.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Let us prepare for communion. And if I can get this adult-proof cup open, one of the kids can open it in 2 seconds. Has everyone been served a cup? Amen. So I'd like to share with you, we got Junior Church in the house. I'd like to share with you something that the Lord brought to my attention. The definition of propitiation says the act of appeasing God or regaining the favor or goodwill of someone or something. Now, for some of us, we understand that that's what Jesus did for us. Because remember, we lost favor in the garden. So Jesus knew even before the garden that he was going to come and play that position and serve in that role as a propitiation so that he could regain God's favor for us. And the first thing that happened was his body was broken for us. Take and eat. And then in biblical times, the shedding of blood is what paid for sin. So what he did was he shed all of his blood to pay for all of your sins. Take and drink. Amen.
Stand again for this last song together, because this is a song we should all sing. Apostle Paul in the 12th chapter of Romans, the first verse says, I beseech you, I urge you, in light of all that God has done for you, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. In light of all of what Jonathan just got through telling us, Him, Jesus, being our propitiation, the least we can do is turn our lives back over to Him. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we're here to do in this song. Just a way of letting us know that we've been bought with a price. I give myself away.
So you can use me. I give myself.
myself, I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
This side, join me in this.
I give myself away.
Life is not my own. To you. To you I belong.
I give myself away.
So you can use me.
I give myself away.
To you I belong.
I give myself away. So you can use me.
Myself away. How else can he use me if I don't give myself away? He says his thoughts are as far away from ours as the heavens are from the earth. What we think is good is literally as filthy rags. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, praise and worship team. Thank you for singing the kinds of songs that wake us up. We're here in God's house. We need to hear his word. We need to hear from him so that he can use us. We all want this world to be a better place, don't we? And we got to do it his way. Amen. All right. Well, Pastor O is going to continue. Remember last month before we start celebrating our anniversary, he started a teaching in the book of James. And so we went over chapter 1 and chapter 2. Today he's going to preach from chapter 3, and this will be part 3 of the series. He's asked me to read chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and then also verses 13 and 18 from chapter 3. It is written, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Verses 13 to 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there's jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. And I wanted to also say how blessed we are today to have Ryan on one side and Chloe on the other side and all those you brought in between. Welcome. And we also, I know, have Amber in the house. Good to see you again, Amber. Welcome. Okay, so yes, we're blessed. On behalf of Runner for Christ Ministries, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome to all here and those listening through our broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So this morning, Pastor O will continue in his teaching from the book of James. I took a look at my notes from the first two chapters. A highlight from chapter one was Pastor O's reminding that God gives us opportunities to put his word into practice. But Satan tries to get us off track. To endure, we must really know God's word. Then in chapter two, the topic of favoritism was raised. Pastor O talked to us about what it means to be a hypocrite. A takeaway is to know that evidence of our faith is good works and always looking to Jesus as our role model. Now we are led to this topic of the double-edged fickle tongue that can literally speak life or death. True wisdom comes from God, and controlling the tongue are the headings for the two sets of passages I just read. Wow. So if Pastor O is about to speak to us about taming the tongue, I'm just going to have to say, I have a right to remain silent. The question is, why don't I exercise this right more often? I'm hoping Pastor O will help me and you with this one. So, okay, let's clear our minds and hearts to receive the message he has for us. Psalm 118:26 also says, bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. So, well, let's welcome one truly coming in the name of the Lord. So, is everyone ready?
Yes.
Okay, to the man back there, I say, gentlemen, start your engine. To my brothers and sisters, repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for
us. Amen. 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 So creative. Always, good morning, daughter. Always finding a way. You know, I'd be just wondering every Sunday. I don't know. I think is this it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right then. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? I know I don't even have to ask Ryan. I know how he doing. He got a whole row of me sitting next to him. At that age, I'm at this age like that, and they at that age, so it's cool with them. They be a normal. I'm abnormal. What's up, CC? Hey, man, it's good to see everybody. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. What's up, Aunt? Hey, my man, I'm so proud of you, man. I love it every time I see you come in here with your girl and your daughter and all that good stuff going on right there. That's real man stuff. I'm proud of that. Amen. 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 Every man ain't like that. I love it when I see that because it reminds me of what I should have been. I finally became, but I should have been right there where he at. In these days here, you don't want to miss them days because they all going to get older and you're going to think back, I should have been there. Should have done this, should have done that. Amen, but they there. And they ain't got to miss that or have that regret. There's a lot of men running around in the world today, When Father's Day comes, the worst time of the year for them. It's the worst day of the year for them because they know they wasn't fathering. Amen? So, amen, if you want to avoid that, do it at doing back there. Be with yours. Amen? Do it, Ryan. Bring the whole crew. Amen. Bring your own baseball team. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's my man, though. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, thank you for this day. And thank you for this word that you're about to give to your people. And Lord, bless this preacher to be able to say what you want me to say and say only what you want me to say. In Jesus' name I pray and give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So I hear Keela teach an awesome Sunday school lesson today. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I hear your word today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts
in my heart.
I'm not like you. Yeah, I fixed it, Alicia. I fixed it. But I'm here today to be changed, to be renewed, to be transformed, to be made over in your image. In Jesus' name, amen. And one of the funniest things they used to get me was young preachers who try to be their pastor. You know, they get up sound just like their pastor. The man of God, you know, not man. You got to put a D on the end of it. The man of God. Amen. They try to be like the man of God. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. But we should be want to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what I do, Jeff. I want to be like Jesus. I like you. You cool. But I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Carrie, I know you're awesome. Amen. But I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Marcus, I want to be, well, kind of you with the gym shoes thing. But I want to be like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we should be like. I got an announcement. Sunday school started today. Upstairs, adult Sunday school started today, and it'll be every Sunday going forward. So if you want to come out to Sunday school in person, 9 o'clock, Sunday school starts. Now, Sunday school is going to start downstairs next month for the kids. Sarah's in charge of the downstairs, and Janice is running the upstairs, okay? So it is official. Now, Saturday church school is going to end next Saturday when Jonathan gets through with 2 Thessalonians, then it's over. And we'll be back to Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible class until going forward. I need you to know that at some point this year, we're going to study the Bible and where it came from. And we're going to study Christian history. Don't worry, it won't be a two-year class. It will only be 15 weeks. Okay? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So it won't be like the first. Yeah, you remember that, right, Lisa? You was there, right? Amen. It was 2 years long. And we finally ended it in 12 weeks after Carmen blessed me, amen, and gave me a way out, a better way. She showed me a better way. Amen. Amen. Okay. I think that's all of it. Y'all got that?
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to continue talking about the book of James. You know, the Lord want me to preach through the New Testament. He says that we don't do that. All we do is go to the Gospels and find something real hype, Keela, so we can hype you up and send you home. And you be going out to the parking lot and get out there and figure out you just got some cotton candy. Why? Because it was a whole lot when you got it, but it kind of went away real fast and you can't even remember.
Wow.
How many people you know get to the parking lot and don't remember? And you get asking, what did the pastor preach about today? I don't know. But he sure did preach. If he don't never preach again, he preached today. But you don't know what he preached. Lord have mercy. So, amen. Amen. So we're going to kind of get this one past the parking lot, right? We're going to take this one all the way to the crib. Then we're going to do it easy. Amen. Now, I haven't heard that. Me and what pastor preached today? What was his subject? I don't know, but he spoke that one. Right, I'm going to listen to that at 1 o'clock, right. Amen. So we started the book of James. The book is written around AD 49. What's going on? The church is born. The church is now 19 years old. Some folks in Jerusalem joined James' church, some Pharisees and Sadducees maybe. But I don't know. They were sad, you see. Amen. Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. So that's pretty much why they were sad, you see. That's what they got their name for. But anyway, some of them joined the church. Today we would call them the Holy Rollers. Every time they come around you, you ain't doing something right. It's funny how they don't never always doing something right, but you ain't never doing nothing right, right? So they're the Holy Rollers. They joined the church, but they brought Judaism along with them. Because for years they had been, y'all know how we become religious, right? And Running for Christ is not a religious church. And I get asked all the time, why we don't do this, why we don't do that, because we ain't no religious church. We're not scripted. Our liturgy does not drive us, but we're driven by the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is order. Yes, things are decent and in order. But amen, the Holy Spirit is in charge of the order. So if you want to flip things up, you can flip things up. Amen. So James is writing to the Jews, or Israel as he calls them, the nation of Israel, who are scattered all over the Roman provinces and have become Christians. But when you get to chapter 3, what you recognize is James' motive for writing. It becomes apparent. It becomes clear. The same thing that Paul had to deal with in the Galatian church, James, without saying it, is dealing with wherever those Jews are in those churches. There's two kinds of teachings going on. And what James wants the folks in the church to know, wherever or whoever reads this letter that he has written, he wants them to know what real Christianity is and how you live it out. See, when you know the truth, you can tell a lie. You can tell when somebody's lying to you when you know the truth. So James wants them to know the truth from God, because the devil is going to raise up some teachers to say something different. In the beginning of his book, he talks about enduring, right? And how to endure. And when you begin reading, you kind of wonder, why do you start off a book talking about, now this is how you endure? He says, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of troubles. And then he tells you, why should you count it all joy? Because that's when the Lord shows up and shows out. He says, if you want to know how to be able to endure anything that you as a Christian will go through, you need wisdom from God. Amen? Because the devil is the one who is coming at you. He will get permission slips from the Lord to come and try you. I believe it was Dr. Tony Evans who said this morning, with every detour, there's also included in that detour a test. Amen? Now, either the Lord is going to test you himself. I told my wife one time that God don't test people. Amen? And she didn't even say nothing to Leitrus. She just turned in her Bible. We was on the phone, and she said, turn to Genesis chapter 22. So I turned to chapter, she said, I turned to Genesis chapter 22. Lolo, she set me straight. Well, the first few words I read, now listen to what I told her, Mary. I said, God don't test Christians. As a preacher, I'm Reverend Overall, Aunt. I know what I'm talking about, baby. Amen. Love me, because I'm smart. You know what she told me, Alex? She said, turn to Genesis chapter 22. Now read that. She told me to read it, Melissa. She told me, read it. So like the preacher, I was like, mm-hmm. And I started reading. And guess what the first few words was, Kat? God did test Abraham. I'm like, oh, no, she didn't. Amen. Ryan, I didn't feel real smart after that. I turned left. Amen. I felt like both my shoes was left. Amen. So God was there. God will test you every time. Like, you're going to learn this lesson this week. And guess what? God don't test you. I mean, in school, they teach you 2 + 2, right? And then before you know it, you got a quiz. Amen. So God does the same thing. And so God wants the people to be prepared, because with every detour, and God uses detours to get us to where he wants us to go, He already know from the beginning of our lives where we're going. What did he say about Jeremiah? Before your mother and father formed you in the womb, I knew you. I set you apart for my service, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So God knew exactly where he was going. But if you read about Jeremiah, you'll see him go this way, then go this way, then go this way, and then go this way, and end up right where God wants him. See, that's why we don't have, if we ain't too hard-headed, we're going to end up right where the Lord wants us. So James says, in spite of what you're hearing from these other teachers who are going to come through here and try to tell you something different about being able to endure the trials and tribulations that Jesus said we would face, James said, wisdom comes from God. And if any man lacks wisdom about how to get through the trials and tribulations of life, let them ask God. Amen. Guess what, Allie? I ain't God. So my phone shouldn't be ringing. Somebody should be calling upstairs. They told me Jesus was on the main line. They said, call him up and tell him what you want. Amen. He on the main line. I don't even, people be like, why you answering your phone? I'm like, because it's my phone. Plus, I hired a guy to answer it when I ain't there. Amen. He going to sound just like me, too. Hey, this Pastor O, leave a message. Amen. That's right. Jesus on the main line. Call him up. Tell him what you want. So that's what James is saying to them. He is saying, look, when you run into these troubles and you are walking in the will of God, now if you ain't in the will of God, you still need to do like Peter. Lord, save me. I'm sinking in my mess. Lord, save me. And here's the good news. Jesus will show right up. He will show right up. The people, you know, you see homeless people on the corner, you go straight judging them. That's our way out of giving them anything. Oh, please, you look healthier than me. I ain't giving you nothing. You need to walk yourself down the street and get a job. But the Lord don't do us like that. We get ourselves in a complete mess, and it's our fault because we didn't trust God. And we had a nerve to say, Lord, Amber, we say, Lord, save me. And Jesus run right over there, pick you up, and then make it a teaching moment. You know what he's saying? Why did you doubt? That lets you know. And I learned this from Pastor Bishop T.D. Jakes, when he was talking about them times that Jesus asked them to get in that boat, and they immediately ran into trials and tribulations, but they forgot what Jesus said. And that's why he asked Peter, why did you doubt? Didn't I tell you in the beginning, let's get in the boat? And what I say after that, Peter, let's go to the other side. We ain't to the other side. I don't care about no wind, no waves. I don't care about no storms. They can't stop us from what? Getting to the other side. But what did stop him? Lack of faith. A lack of faith. So if you're wondering why you can't achieve, lack of faith. James goes on to say that just because you ain't got a whole lot of money, don't think God ain't with you. Jesus ain't have a whole lot of money. Lord, when it came time to pay the taxes, he didn't have nothing in his pockets. But he knew where the bank was. It wasn't down there on the corner called security. Wow, that just dated myself. But anyway. Amen. He told Peter, I got a bank in the river that you've been fishing in forever. Peter done been fishing forever. Ain't never caught a fish with money in the mouth. But Jesus tell you, go down to the river. And you go down to the river and you throw your line in anywhere. Jesus said, you're going to catch a fish. He's going to have a 4-drachma coin in his mouth. Go pay your taxes and mine. See, we don't have to have it right now. We just have to need it. And we have to have faith for right now. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. And it becomes the evidence and we become confident even though we don't see it right now. Why? Because Jesus said it's coming. Amen. That's why God put everything in his word. And that's why the devil keeps us out of it. Because see, if you get into God's word, you're going to see some stuff. And the devil know that. And then you're going to become a kingdom ripper. Tearing down the devil's kingdom. Tearing down strongholds in the mind. And strongholds the devil has set up in certain places. Amen. We tear those down. Paul talked about we don't battle with weapons like carnal folks do. Our weapons are not carnal. But our weapons are spiritual. Our weapons are the power of God to tear down strongholds, whether they're over a city that's run by a devil, like, you know, that last president we had, the devil had us under a stronghold because he was running the place. He was running the White House. His boy in there was so twisted up and backwards, he thought he was going straight. But he was just as wrong as he could possibly be. He was all the way two left shoes and didn't even know it. And some folks still think he hot. Some folks think he still can get back in office and fix America, make America great again. I'm on my wall. Where the wall at? And Mexico was supposed to pay for it. Yeah, he's a false prophet. Amen. See, a prophet, you can tell a false prophet because a false prophet don't always tell the truth. What they say don't come to pass. Somebody said there was going to be a wall. Said Mexico was going to pay for it. All that turned out to be a lie. Amen. So what we need is God's word to get through the troubles that the devil going to bring our way. We are going to, look, the Lord will let you go through a thing 50 times. Just like the world, they'll let you go through school till you just get tired of going. If you can't pass from one class to the next, they'll keep on. In the Navy, they will keep you in there 6 months till you try to get out of boot camp. And if you didn't make it, then they send you on home. Amen, with a horrible discharge. Amen, because you just couldn't get it right. You just can't get right. Amen. So Paul tells them, James tells them, look, if you want to get through trouble, read the word of God. But don't just read it and not do it. You only get blessed when you do what God say. He says, look into the word, continue to look into the word, or continue in the word. Don't forget what you heard. And then put into practice what you heard. Then you'll be blessed in whatever you do. You know what that means? That's a word from God that says, as long as you're doing what God told you to do, the devil can't stop you. All right, man. Now, you might be in the wilderness like Jesus, but the devil can't stop you. He can't turn you away from the Lord. Though he slay me, like Job said, yet will I trust in him. Amen. And so we got to get to that place where the devil will say, hey, I need a permission slip to get at Carmen. I have figured out what will stop her from going to church, reading the Bible, and praying to Jesus. And so if the Lord knows that Carmen got this problem, like he knew Job had this problem, what did Job say? Thing I feared the most has happened to me. Right? The thing I feared the most, what did he, lost all his money? His wife turned on him? His friends was just as crappy as could be. It turned out there's all fake. Amen? And he's sick and can't get well. Those were the things he feared the most. And he was rich. Jesus bragged on his money. Job was super rich. He wasn't just, he was Bill Gates rich. In his day, in his time. Amen. Mm-hmm. But he lost it all. Lost his friends, lost his status. And the devil's thought, he'll curse you to your face. But guess what? James is telling us, if we look into the word of God that brings freedom from him and his stuff, deliverance from him and his stuff, if we look into it, guess what? We will be blessed in whatever we do. What does the word blessed mean? Happy are you. Right. You want to be happy are you? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Do what the Lord says. And then we get to chapter 2, and this strange teaching that didn't come from Jesus has popped up in chapter 2. They're being prejudiced. In other words, they're having classism. They're practicing classism. Rich folks could what? Sit in the front. And they thought that was all right. Come on up here. You got that money. You on the front row. We're going to give you the offering basket first. So you come on up to the front. Some churches are like that. Some churches have, what is it, a silver membership? Wait a minute, I think a bronze. Which one is the lowest? You got a bronze membership, a silver membership, and a gold. And then when that wasn't enough, they went platinum. Amen. Marcus, you can get you a platinum membership, but you got to give up that money, though. You got to give up platinum money, and you can sit up here. Other than that, you got to sit back there in the bronze section. Human beings, Christian churches, literally showing favoritism and making it a rule. Deacon's job is to make sure only platinum sit in these first three rows. And we're going to look at the rows to see how much you gave to determine if you are platinum or a bronze or a gold or a silver. Lord help us. Amen. That's unbelievable. I don't know how you heard Jesus say, treat Ryan better than you treat them other people, because Ryan got that bank. So let Ryan sit on the front row. He can sit in the front row. Bring all the kids up to the front row because he got that bank. James says that's not right teaching. He even says, aren't the people you're favoring and loving and heaping all this love on, aren't they the same ones that take you to court? Aren't they the same ones that's got prices going through the roof today? Aren't they the same ones that's making you pay $4 or something for gallon? And they come to church and you want to put them on the front row? Now, I'd forgive you if you give them the evil eye. Amen. He is saying, y'all ain't even making sense. These people don't even like you. They treat you like trash, and when they show up, you treat them like they're diamonds. So that ain't even straight. And then James begins to unfold or open up to us why he's writing. Because he is saying, on the one hand, somebody's teaching this. On the other hand, somebody's teaching this. So in part two of chapter two, he talks about faith and works. There's a group going around saying that you can have faith with no works. In other words, you can be a Christian and show no evidence of it. You can be a Christian. Jesus said what? Study to show yourself approved, right? Unto who? God. But you don't study. And they're saying, that's okay. See, faith is knowing what God said and doing it. So if God says study to show yourself approved unto him, then you should be in Bible class, you should be in Sunday school, and you should do home study. That is the best study in the world, home study. Why? Because you're one-on-one with the Holy Ghost. And he can reveal things to you that might not come through in a corporate setting like this. Because see, he knows you. He knows me. You are you, and I am me. And so he'll get one-on-one with us and talk to us about what we're going through, what we're dealing with, so we can deal with it the way we deal with it according to his word.
Yes, right.
Crystal might handle something a little different than me because Crystal's different from me. Even though it's the same thing coming at us. Have you ever seen two people get hit with the same thing? Put it like this, a parent die. One person get accused of not even loving the parent because they're not all tore up. Amen? And another one is accused of over-loving the parent because they stay tore up. But that's that person. Grief affects us all differently. And we move through the process. What is it, about five steps? Denial. Then you get angry. Then you try to bargain it away. And when none of those work, you get depressed. And you stay that way for a while before you get to what? Acceptance. And so we're all different. And we all arrive at different times about the same thing. But we do arrive. Some people ain't going to get through being mad at Jesus about something until they get to heaven. Amen? And that's who we mad at. I ain't make you. Amen? Jesus made you. So that stuff should be brought to him. So James says you cannot have faith that produces no works. If faith is knowing what God said and doing it, amen, then you cannot have faith that produces no works. Now, we don't have faith. We got faith to be saved. And then because we saved, we got faith to do works. Amen? Amen. Faith means I live according to God's word. Faith means in all my ways I acknowledge him and he directs my path. So James refutes this teaching that you can have faith and not go to church. You can have faith and not study the Bible. You can have faith and not be a witness for Jesus. You can have faith and not raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. James says, that's a lie. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Show me your faith without works. That's dead. That's dead faith. Amen. How would you like it if somebody said, I'm going to come by tomorrow and pick you up for work and take you to work, but they ain't show up? Is that faith? No. That's make you real mad stuff right there. That's make you pick up the phone and call somebody up and use your tongue the wrong way. Amen. So James is going somewhere. He has a purpose for writing this book. He wants these people, either he's heard that these folks have been affected by bad teachers, by people with alternative views of Christ. Do you know the church had not in 300 years really defined itself in the first 300 years? The church had not really put together what they call a Christian creed, what we believe about Jesus in particular. The church had not put together the Bible, the 66 books that we have today. You know how all of that happened? They came under attack. People called Gnostics, people called Monophysites, people who had alternative views concerning Jesus Christ. Amen? Those folks had to be addressed. And so they raised up a group of men called apologists. And what they would do is go out and attack error, where people were saying the Bible teaches this or the Bible teaches that, and it was wrong. Like the Gnostics thought that you had to reach what's called a gnosis. You mass enough knowledge, and this makes you close to God. The Monophysites, they were a whole different group. They both shared the same theology, that all matter or mass is evil. Inherently evil. This body is what? Matter. This body is what? Mass. So it's evil. So how do you reconcile your theology to Jesus who had a body? So they had to come up with some ingenious ways to keep Christ but deny his humanity. And how did they do it? They said he had a body, but he was less than God and more than man. So that put Jesus in a real funny place. He ain't nothing. He less than God and he ain't man. What is he? He ain't an angel, so what is he? He ain't nothing. We don't know yet. And the Monophysites, they said, yes, he had a body and all matter and mass is inherently evil, but we ignore his body completely. And we just get into the spirit of Jesus. Amen. Because that's good. James is saying that's bad teaching. And see, God wants us to know his word. So when we hear that stuff, yesterday it was a Sabbath day. All the Israelites, the black Israelites, were all over the place in the long purple robes that go all the way down to the ground, sitting there acting like they, the pride of Jesus. Amen. But you cannot tell the difference between lies and the truth unless you know the truth of God's word. They trying to make us go back to the law. They keep hollering at me saying, you're a heretic because you keep telling people God's law don't matter. That is not what I said to you. In the first place, Romans 3:19 tells me that the law was obviously written for those who it was given to. I wasn't around there in the 1400 ADs. Amen. It wasn't given to me. I ain't no Israelite. I am an African American. Okay? I was not born in Israel. I was not there when they struck the blood on the doors. I was not at Mount Sinai when the Lord gave them 613 laws. Which they only concerned themselves, real old, they which they only concerned themselves with the 10. But there are 613 laws they need to be concerning themselves with. Jesus came and satisfied all of that. If you read the latter part of Romans chapter 3, it tells you what the law couldn't do, what it wasn't set up to do, Jesus did. See, the law ain't your friend. That stop sign out there, it ain't your friend. It ain't your friend. Run right through that stop sign. Let the police be sitting somewhere where you can't see them. The stop sign ain't going to say, man over there. No, the stop sign going to let you go right through. The man going to come up behind you, and the stop sign going to say, I'm here, I'll stop. I told him stop. You saw him, he went right through. I told him stop, he went right through. And you look at the sign talking about, why are you stretching me out like that? Like, that's my job, I'm stopped. And you didn't. That's all I got to say. I ain't telling them, they saw you run. They know what that word is. So James, amen, wants them to know faith without works is dead. And then you begin to really see. James really lets it out the bag. Now, I'm talking to some people. He says, be not many teachers, knowing that you shall be beat with, in the King James Version, with many stripes. Why? Because you know better. What are you supposed to? Amen? And we get, teachers get scared when they read that, saying, oh, really? Pastor didn't tell me this when he asked me to be a teacher. He didn't tell me this. He hid that. You know why? Because he's not talking to crapped out teachers. I mean, he's not talking to good teachers. James is focusing on folks who think it's a good thing to be a teacher. They got selfish ambitions, and they got ulterior motives for wanting to be a teacher. He says, if you want to be a teacher because you think that's cool, because people are going to like you, because that's going to make you smart or set you above your brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, know this, if you teach wrong,
right.
Amen, Jesus is the judge, okay, and Jesus is going to punish you. Don't you know when folks who are raised up to be teachers, raised up to be deacons, raised up to be pastors and preachers, don't you know that when we mess up, the Bible says we have to be rebuked in front of the whole church? We can't keep our mess a secret. We have to come in front of the whole church. I went there 6 times, and my pastor used to tell me, look, what y'all looking at? Yeah, I messed up 6 times. Anyway, my pastor told me, I said, why do I have to keep going down there? Sooner or later, they ain't going to believe me. Because I'm joining the church 6 times. They had this rule that if you miss 3 months in a row, then you got to rejoin.
3 months.
I missed like a half a year each time. But anyway, because I was a preacher, I had to go down there in front of them people and tell them, how many times you get in front of the same people and tell them this is my last time? I feel Jesus. I'm dedicated. I'm committed. I'm a new me. And then, Marcus, here I am 6 months later. I'm right back down here. Okay, Melanie, this time, 6 times the charm. 6 times. Amen. So James is saying, don't take delight in being a preacher, being a pastor. Don't take delight in being a teacher if you're going to be a crappy one. Y'all know when I tell the deacons and the preachers when they get ordained, I tell them, you get to determine what kind of deacon you're going to be or deaconess. Okay? You're going to put the words in people's mouth that they speak about you. If you're a jackleg deacon, they call you jackleg because you jackleg. And they saw you jackleg, right? They see jacklegging in front of them, right? But if you're a good deacon, then you're going to be one of them good deacons. But you put the words in their mouth. So James says, don't rush to that position because you want notoriety, because you want people to think well of you, think highly of you. Don't run to that position for that. That's an ulterior motive, and that's one that God will recognize. That's one that Satan will recognize and use against you, against the church. Amen. And then James shifts all of a sudden and says something that seemed to be totally disconnected from what he just said. He says, anybody who can control that tongue, they can control their whole life. They can keep it all together. If they can control that tongue. And so you say to yourself, what kind of power does the tongue have? How much power is in this mouth? How many of y'all know that the war going on in Ukraine didn't start with bombs? For real? I'm gonna need 5 more minutes. I can't. For real? That's 40 minutes. For real? That's 40 minutes? Oh, Jesus. Okay. I'm clearly not going to finish this today. Or maybe. Amen. So he says, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. And to give him an example, he gave him 2 examples. I used to live on a ranch in Canada for 3 summers. My mother and father allowed us to go over there after they made a deal with the man, and we actually got to live in his house. Okay, Tony Rainoni. That was his real name. He was Italian. Real cool. Didn't take no stuff either. Some brothers came up there, got the clown, and Tony came riding down on top of the hood, his wife driving with a shotgun, ready to get some brothers straight. Them brothers became friends at the ranch, though. But anyway, amen. We used to put, they had all kinds of different bits that goes in the horse's mouth, but it never ceased to amaze me how much control I had over that horse simply because I had a bit in his mouth. I could turn this big old giant horse this way, and my horse was named Deputy, and Deputy was a bay. He was real brown, beautiful brown with deep black mane. And he was tall, had a brother named Light Touch. Amen. And every time you go out with them, they try to run together. They wouldn't separate. So you had to go out separate from the other. But then that make him act crazy because he's looking for his brother the whole time. Where my brother at? Where my brother at? I'm like, really? That's how he act. Just kept turning, where my brother at? Where my brother? Because Light Touch was even bigger than Deputy. But I'm telling you, that horse could run. But anyway, you could turn that horse and go anywhere. You could stop that horse. You could trot that horse. You could run that horse. And all of that was controlled by that bit in his mouth. Also, I was in the Navy. And I was on a ship. And the superstructure of our ship was 60 feet up off of the water. That tells you how tall the ship was. And the ship was longer than this building. Okay? But I worked I had a fireman's rating because I was a mechanic and they put you where you were most, where you would work the best. And so they put me where mechanics work, engine room, okay? I became what's called a bosun's mate, amen, with a fireman's rating. I didn't even know what all that meant, but that meant I would work with tools, work with keeping the ship maintenance and all of that stuff. Anyway, the rudder on that ship was about this big, and the ship is like bigger than this building. But that little bitty rudder could turn that ship this way and that way. James said that's how much power is in this tongue. And how many of y'all know that the war over in Ukraine did not start with bombs and missiles? It started with words. Vladimir Putin said something, and Volodymyr Zelensky said something, NATO said something, folks watching it on TV said something. So that's the war did not start with the missiles and the bombs and all this destruction that we see in Ukraine. It started with this. These tear up marriages. These tear up relationships. These get you fired on your job. The tongue is an unruly evil, and the Bible says nobody can tame it. We can tame animals. We can put animals. We can make monkeys ride bikes. We can make apes do all kinds of funny things. We can make, they even got cats that's trained. I didn't even know you could train a cat because they just got attitude out of this world, okay? But you can train in almost every kind of animal. You can domesticate them and train them. But who can control this? Usually we control our mouth after we say something. Amen. I heard a man come on Erica Kane them show yesterday, and you should have heard the spicy words he was using. I know that, and it's a Christian show, so I know they was like, oh, Jesus. Amen. But he was just talking the way he talked. And it was Erica's birthday, and he wished her a birthday, and he said some stuff, and I started cracking up. But his tongue, he couldn't control his tongue. Amen. Where am I? Amen. Amen. I'm not going to finish this today. So we're going to pick this up next week, and we're going to continue to talk about the tongue. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for this word that you've given us and we began to talk about on today. And if it's your will, Father, we'll all be here next week and we'll continue speaking about this word. Lord, help us to control our tongue.
Yes.
Help us to do like you did, Jesus, when you were here. You told your disciples the words that you spoke. Well, your Father told you to say this or that. Jesus, you said the works that you did with your hands, your Father told you to do this or that. So, Lord, we want to be like you. When we get ready to speak, we want every word we're getting ready to say to get an okay from you before we say it.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, to stop and think about what we're getting ready to say. Because all you have to say is go and a race starts. One little word with two letters and 43 cars take off and start racing each other. Lord, all you have to say is round one call out, and everybody suddenly gets in their cars and a whole group of people, whole class, starts making their way to the stage and lanes. The words, Father, that we speak, we don't think that they have that much power, but they do. And Jesus, you told us that if we say to this mountain, if we speak to this mountain, and then you said, be removed into the sea. Just a few words. And you said that if we believe in our heart and don't doubt, it will happen. Lord, we heard you say, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Three words. And he who was dead 4 days got up, came out of the grave. Lord, you told Tabitha, that little girl who had died, Jairus' daughter. You said, arise, little girl. And she got up and you told him to give her something to eat. Lord, I remember when Peter went down to Dorcas' house who had died. And you said, Dorcas, raise up. And she got up. Lord, there is power in this tongue. We can use this tongue in your will. By speaking your word, or we can use this tongue for evil. We can allow the devil to work through us. And Lord, you said to us, that shouldn't be. How can you get fresh water and sour water out of the same spring? How can you get grapes from an apple tree? How can evil words come out of somebody who belongs to you, Jesus? So help us, Lord, to pay attention to the words we speak and to behold the power that they have. We can speak words, Lord, and people start crying.
Yes.
We can speak words, Lord, and people want to kill themselves. Help us, Lord, to pay attention to the words that we speak. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all see how I snuck that sermon on in that prayer? Amen. Amen. Oh, wait a minute before I can't go home, right? Amen. Woo.
Oh, quick announcement. Next week is Mother's Day. I've just been informed by Chef Terrence Tate.
We was gonna announce
Mother's
it.
Day, we have a guest.
We was gonna announce
Michelle
it.
Michelle Anderson, she's the one who runs the ministry that we are in front of the church on the fourth Wednesdays. She'll be coming to preach our Mother's Day message. She's from Word of Faith in the day. Day of the night.
That was like the breaking news announcements when you were home. That was like breaking news. All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy May 1st. Thank you, Pastor, for the
for the great sermon today. I just want to say it's been great to see all the kids at church today. Like, woo, thank you. See all over here. So I'm going to be quick. I'm going to read. Terrence gave me an announcement about the facility, his vocational, been looking for people. And then I'm going to ask Sarah, because Pastor did another breaking news, for church about Bible class for the kids. It's going to start next month. So Sarah's going to do this. So I want her to, like, whatever insight, so we can be prepared. I hope we see a bunch of all these kids next month. And then if she need help, we can help her. And then her girls, I'm always talking about DAPSAT. Her girls went through DAPSAT. So I want you to hear from her girls what they did, because they're currently enrolled in the DAPSAT for the summer program and the Ford Motor Company. DAPSAT is so huge for your kids. I don't care if you just enroll them in one class. Let them pick a class. They do everything. They teach them about music. They teach them about coding, forensic science, aerodynamics. Like my grandson did one where they were doing, they built the plane and learned about like how the planes, how they glide and things like that. Give an opportunity just for them. You know, let them experience it once. Okay, so Terrence's announcement is, this is from Pastor Terrence Tate. He said, "Dear all our fellow Running for Christ ministry church family members, my name is Pastor Terrence Tate, and I'll ask all of my fellow Running for Christ ministry church members know me. I have been a client at a very awesome vocational training program that is called Paragon Support Systems since July of 2015. Paragon Supports Inc. is a nonprofit vocational program that has been in business since October of 96. Due to the worldwide COVID pandemic, Paragon Support System is now dealing with a shortage of employees because Paragon System Support doesn't have the proper amount of employees. All of our in-person vocational trainings for all the Paragon clients have been placed on hold until further notice. So if any of my fellow Running for Christ Ministry church members or friends or relatives with someone who's interested in working in the direct care field, please reach out to Paragon." So this is some of the jobs they're hiring for: transportation drivers, job development coaches, Paragon residential home staff, a Paragon receptionist and backdoor worker, AM and PM, Paragon janitors. They are located at 2101 Grove Street in Wyandotte, and you can contact them between the hours of 10 and 2. So I have this information. I'm going to put it on the back table if you want to take a picture of it. So if you know anybody that's currently looking for a job, and then this is something that they really need people, because their whole vocational program is shut down. So if you know somebody that that may be looking for a job, that helps them, and then it also helps the people that need the vocational training. And that's all I have today. And so Sarah's going to come up. All right.
So DAPSAT did a couple things for us. We figured out that one of us is an engineer and one of us is not. My singer, actress, dancer person, she quit DAPSAT in like the third. I'm done making slime, so we done. But Harley, we really understood her as an engineer. She didn't think she was an engineer. I'm not an engineer. Dad's an engineer. But yeah.
I like DAPSAT. We did things like building bridge. We talked about different kinds of engineering and scientists. And I will go back to DAPSAT again.
So really quick, one of my envisions for downstairs is to transform one of the corners for the babies. So I'm looking for baby gates. All my baby stuff is gone. So baby stuff in the corner, and then everything is going to be super colorful. We reinforcing the rainbow and what it really means. So that for downstairs, board games, color and stuff, people. We put a new TV downstairs, like it's gonna be a whole, yeah. So thank y'all.
Okay.
just don't forget to pray one for another. Remember our mothers, Mother Irma, who we miss, Mother Cheryl, who definitely needs our prayers as she's serving as caregiver as well as her own health. Mother Persia, of course, Mother Marilyn, though we see them, understand and know that they pressing to get here. So we're grateful for them. Also praying for each other. And this week, especially coming up, y'all know Mother's Day is next Sunday, and for some, it's kind of difficult season. So be sensitive, but also if your moms, be celebrated. Make sure you get celebrated, because you have earned the right. But again, be sensitive for some people, this is not a happy season. Continue to just pray for those who have lost loved ones recently. There's a lot. There's even more coming. They were showing me one today. And be mindful of that. What else am I thinking about? Again, reiterating, come to Sunday school next Sunday where Deaconess June Rogers will be teaching.
And then I got
Oh, y'all need to get way more excited about that. Come on.
Everybody, my birthday is May the 22nd, but I'm taking gifts from May 1st to the 30th, okay?
Make sure everybody,
at the church.
All you May birthdays, make sure Crystal gets, because we got a couple, so make sure Crystal gets your info as well. Bible classes, always. Ladies Bible class, if you want the link, I will give it to you. You can call in. We having a good time. But I'll give you a little preview, something that the teachers will be doing after they finish their presentations. It comes from that ladies' Bible class. So for you all, if you want to know what we believe, that's what you're going to be teaching. So get excited. Marilyn's clapping because she already knows. It's good stuff. Carmen, did you have something?
Oh, no.
No? Okay. Oh, okay. We have a couple things. We can tell we back to where we used to be. Bring back the family, of course, focus on youth. If we don't help the youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. That's today from 4 to 6. Bring back the family. Call in, flyer on the back sheet. And speaking of family, we're adding to ours. Nobody's having another baby. Please don't bring no more babies right now. Deacon and your betrothed, would you like to stand? All right. Deacon Tate and Mary are getting married.
Yay! Yes, Dr. Tony.
Finally found somebody that can train him.
Okay, getting right.
We're adding another sister to the tape, so congratulations to him. And many prayers for her.
Mary, I'm praying for you.
Before I get in trouble, pray for some of our folks are away traveling and that they get Mercy's journey and all that good stuff. What else? Anything else? Stand to your feet. They already ready to take over. And I'm ready for them to take over. Our young folks.
Love them, stand with them.
praise team leader Isaiah. Y'all should just see his video. It's profound. He even does this talking. So stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. To the only wise God, henceforth, now and forever, all God's people say,
Amen.
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 Amen.